Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. It's Saturday evening, believe it or not. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and we are at the end of April. It's April 29th, 2017, for those people that are taking notes and recording a lot of our calls, as they usually do. But we are here on a Saturday evening with some really interesting news. We've been kind of talking about this one company blowing up, if you will, or maybe having some challenges for many months. It's been probably even over a year, and it looks like it's coming to a head right now and happening kind of quickly. So I want to first of all introduce our guest speaker. Scott Johnson and I have been doing radio shows for in August, the third week or so out of August. It's going to be two solid years. And it started off with me talking to Scott Johnson as a result of a phone call that he made to me, and we were talking about the tools aspects of MLM. And in reference to this, there was a company called Vima that had just got shut down by the FTC through a temporary restraining order. And when that happened, Scott called me up and he says, you know, there's some challenges, of course, with what Vima was allegedly doing. I'm throwing all my words in there for the lawyers that want to kind of listen to this all over again. But there's some challenges with the income disclosure or maybe the income claims or maybe the pyramid scheme allegation, but everybody's kind of missing the whole concept of the tool scam. And because I was someone who was affiliated with Amway three separate times, someone who joined because I wanted to join a good network marketing company, and I wanted to learn the ropes, so I figured might as well join one that's going to be around for a while and one of the bigger ones, but also somebody who quit three separate times for the tools challenges specifically. So I couldn't figure out how to make the type of income that I needed to be able to make the transition over with the compensation plan the way they saw it during any kind of a reasonable time frame. And I was always perplexed to say, so how are these people doing this? I mean, Rolls Royces, Lifestyle, the Rich and Famous, you listen to the tapes over and over again, Rags to Riches story. How in the world are these people doing this based on this compensation plan? I mean, it's just crazy. And I found out that, you know what, most of them that I knew weren't. Most of them were making money on the tools. They were making just as much or more money on the tools aspect of the business. Now, when I was started, there were cassette audio tapes and books, tapes, and events. So if someone bought a book or somebody bought a cassette, somebody went to an event, that's where they made their money. Now it's a little bit more convoluted and certainly more sophisticated. But I hired and fired myself three times with Amway because specifically of the tool scam. So I had a little bit of a frame reference when Scott said something about this, and I said, well, what's your website? And he said, stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com. So that's still there, by the way, stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com. So if for those people who want to take a look at it, Scott and I started this conversation, and then what I learned was Scott was the most researched person I knew, and I think in the industry, on the tools aspects of the business. But because he studies the industry, he knows a lot about a lot of things. And we started conversations about Vima and then eventually what was going on with Herbalife. And he was so knowledgeable about this and so balanced relative to just fair, getting out the facts, that I said, Scott, why don't we make this radio show permanent, because something's happening every single week. So for all those people listening in, Scott has two websites you should take a look at. One is the first one, stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com, and then another one he's developing in the middle of doing everything else he's doing, and that one's called allmlmfacts.org, so allmlmfacts as in F-A-C-T-S .org. So, Scott, thanks for being here on your own radio show here on Building Fortunes Radio.
Peter, thanks for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here, and I think we agree on virtually everything. I think there's other MLM, quote-unquote, experts out there, you know, anti-MLMers, if you will, and they've never seen a legitimate MLM. They can't imagine an MLM. They can't describe what the criteria are for a legitimate MLM, and they're just anti-MLM. You know, you just say those three words, and they go off. I think us, on the other hand, have more of a balanced view, and not only a balanced view, but a view that's backed up by court decisions. You know, you can go all the way back to the 1979 Amway case or the more recent Vima and Herbalife cases, where the law is really drawn, and that's on you got to have some retail sales, and not just some, but you got to have a lot. And the minimum line appears to be drawn at you got to have at least as much external sales, you know, to non-distributors as you do internal consumption to the distributors. That seems to be where the line is drawn as a minimum. And also the recent settlements infer, I won't say they directly address, but they make a inference to the fact that MLM companies and the distributors in those companies should not be able to hide things that are material facts to the business. Things like the tool scam, where I've got people on my website that have admitted, oh yeah, when I was in Amway, I made 2 times or 5 times or 10 times more from the tools than from my Amway business. That, I think, would be considered a material fact in any court of law. And so based on those two primary principles, I've been doing this really since 2005 when I found out about the Amway tool scam. I really haven't budged at all on my positions, and they're all borne out by both past lawsuits and more recent lawsuits and settlements. So I think that's very solid ground. And someone listening to this wants to know, hey, does this guy know what he's talking about? And I think we do. I think we're in agreement on virtually everything. And certainly, I don't plan to change my mind. I'm willing to change my mind if I'm presented different facts. But so far, since 2005, I really haven't found too many facts that would decrease my belief in what I'm thinking. In fact, all of the facts I've looked at actually increase my belief and my confidence in my positions. So, like you, I was in Amway. I was only in it once. I was just in it for a longer period of time. I was in it from January of 1993 until September of 2009 when I was booted. And we've talked about some of those details in the past. Maybe we can talk about them some other time in the future. But I actually stayed in Amway for 4 years after I found out about the tool scam, thinking I could run a legitimate Amway business. And basically Amway got in my way and I just couldn't do it. And so simply acted in a way that I kind of figured I might get kicked out. They told me that if I kept acting that way, I would get kicked out. Kept acting that way. So that I could get kicked out because I really didn't want anything to do with them anymore. So that's kind of what brings us here to this radio show. And if you want to comment on any of that or just dive into the past week's news, feel free.
Yeah, I think the basic premise on the reason why we all do things is I like the MLM business model. It's something I kind of grew up with even in my direct sales career. So I like the idea of being able to work from home or wherever you want to, be able to control your own destiny, be able to kind of have your own business, even though you really don't have your own business, you're a distributor, but kind of treat it as if you do and reap the rewards and the benefits. But it's got to be done the right way. So if it's not done the right way, then I think people like myself and people like you, Scott, we have a tendency, or we consider it, if you will, our role in making sure that people are educated so they can avoid the pitfalls and the potholes and the stuff that the blatant scams. So education counts, and I think we're both on the same page there. So I appreciate all the things you do. One of the things we've been educating people on for a long time was the concept of what's happening with cryptocurrency industry and then OneCoin specifically. And the cryptocurrency industry by itself is perfect for stories related to we're going to be the next like Facebook, or we're going to be the next Google, or we're going to be the next whatever, you know, Apple or iPhone or smartphone. So Bitcoin was perfect for the people that buy stories, and especially right now as Bitcoin is going to record levels. I think it's at the highest level it's ever been right now. I think somewhere around $1,300 as we speak today. So I'm a big fan of cryptocurrencies, but I'm really not a big fan of people that are trying to do Bitcoin-related stories relative to MLM, because they could be such fantastic stories that are based on fabrications. And when I saw Dr. Ruja from Bulgaria talk about OneCoin I said to myself, this is a gal who thinks she's sharper than everyone else in the room. Maybe she has a background and maybe she might be in certain areas, but she doesn't really understand cryptocurrency. And I don't trust the things that she's saying. And then after validating and just listening to her longer and longer and longer, I realized that although she might be smart and she might have an IQ over 200 like people have praised, and although she's done whatever she's done, she's really run or helped run, allegedly, the biggest Ponzi/pyramid/fraudulent thing in recent times in the MLM world. So I've been kind of warning people about OneCoin for a really, really, really long time based on the evidence I've seen, the people I've heard, listening to her on her YouTube videos and all the other types of things that she's put in writing as well as on video ourselves, and the again, the other things that people have brought up to people's attention, and I take that with understanding that it may not be all 100% true. But right now, Scott, this thing is imploding. OneCoin is literally, if you want to know what one of these things look like, when they blow up, it's like watching this in slow motion happen, like really quickly, if you will. So that's what's happening in OneCoin. I kind of laid the backdrop, Scott. We could talk about some of the specific things as we go, because there's tons of specific things. So I'll let you jump on top of this, and then we'll go back and forth about OneCoin.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, we could cover all of the stories about OneCoin that are on BehindMLM.com just for the past week and have about a three-hour show tonight.
That's right. That's right.
There's, I think, about 10 stories. So you can believe that OneCoin has not paid off this guy to only put out nice stories about them because that's what he does. The guy on – no, excuse me, that's not this website. That's a different website. My apologies.
Right.
It's not behind MLM. So, yeah, if you want to just – what I can do is just read the headlines because really this would be a three-hour show if we go into these things. So if you go to BehindMLM.com, there's actually a story today that says – actually, it's dated for tomorrow. But I think these people live somewhere in the Far East, so it's April 30th over there, still April 29th over here. OneCoin threatens to sue SQL chain block whistleblower. So apparently this guy said, you know, you're not running a legitimate blockchain – which is, you know, some lingo that cryptocurrency uses. So now they're threatening to sue him. There's another story on April 29th. It's dated April 29th. There's these characters called Stein Colors. They're really big in OneCoin. And the headline is OneCoin Stein Colors linked to mafia violence, threats, and murder. Just to warm things up a little bit. Another April 29th story, OneCoin tried to extort German cryptocurrency blogger. April 28th, fraud plagues OneCoin's DealShaker platform. Another one from April 28th, OneCoin under criminal investigation in Thailand. Then it says Juha Parhiala. I'm not sure what that is. I haven't read the whole story. But anyway, it's somewhere in Thailand, I guess. Let's see. There's another one here on April 28th. OneCoin Gold Macau event prohibited by Chinese authorities. Let me go to page two. OneCoin Global Macau event. Oh, excuse me, that same one. It popped up on the top of page two also. April 28th, OneCoin and OneLife ordered to end all promotion in Germany. Let me go down here a little bit. OneCoin run by, quote, gang of criminals, $2.9 million seized in India bust.
And, Scott, I'm going to interrupt. While you're doing this, I'm thinking to myself, oh, shoot, I was supposed to put this on a GoToMeeting thing so we could record these screens, and I totally got distracted and totally forgot about
it.
So make sure next week
we'll
do that as well.
Yeah, next week is fine. Yeah, no problem. Yep. Next week's fine. April 26th, four more affiliates booked in India, OneCoin Ponzi case. Let me see here. I need to go to my next page. These are all OneCoin stories. And there's other stories sprinkled through here, by the way. So this is not a OneCoin-only website. It just happens to be a lot going on. 18 arrested in India for holding OneCoin quote, Ponzi scheme seminar. I think that was actually a story related to the previous one I just mentioned. Let's see. It kind of goes dry after that for one coin. So that's all we have to talk about. I don't think we need to go into details. I mean, anybody can just go out there and go to BindMLM.com. Any details you want about one coin or all the other MLMs that are on his website, feel free to read all those. But I just can't imagine this business is still around. It's just amazing because we've talked about one coin for almost the whole time we've been doing the show, I think. 2 years almost, and I think almost every week, if not every week, there's been something in the news about OneCoin, or sometimes there's two or three or four stories. This one, I think, is a record as far as the number of stories involving OneCoin, so I'll just give it back to you, see what you want to do with all that.
I've obviously researched a lot of this stuff myself because I always found that the more information that I knew from credible sources, the better it was, and then you kind of pick up put the pieces of the puzzle together and then also look for the inconsistencies. There was one YouTube person that I found to be interesting because she led me to a YouTube video that she had done with the gentleman who's this blockchain SQL guy. So I'll just kind of give her the credibility of, promoting her channel, if you will. But her name, so if you go to YouTube and you're looking for someone, if you look for crypto, and that would be CRYPTO, and then a new word, XPOSE, no EX, just XPOSE. So if you find her, she's a gal with, I believe, a Scottish accent, and she did a video with a gentleman who allegedly suggests that OneCoin asked him to convert an SQL database into the blockchain. And this gentleman seems to either he's absolutely great at being a liar or has tons of credibility. And I would lend to the tons of credibility aspect of it because has a lot to lose and nothing to gain by the video that he did. And he did about a 20-minute video talking about how people like brokers being hired by OneCoin to find someone to convert their SQL database to a blockchain, and how he was offered a ton of money and decided not to do it, and him and a few other people took that information and turned it into the authorities. And I would have a tendency to believe that. So now that OneCoin is trying to sue this guy, and they call him a whistleblower, is a little bit on the profound side, if not just perversely distorted, because they're the ones who are doing, in my opinion, the wrong thing, because, number one, you can't run a blockchain and SQL. You can't have those two words together. Blockchain means decentralized. SQL means it's like on one database. You can't do that on one database on one computer and then say it's decentralized. So I suspect that this is the validation that I was looking for as well, further validation to suggest that there's been a real, real, real story told by the OneCoin people for a really long time, and now the whistle is definitely blown, but in the opposite direction. However, I got to share with you, OneCoin is a very sophisticated organization, and they are really good at trying to shut up, stifle, threaten different people. So this is really perplexing because OneCoin is going after them as if they were some legitimate company who had a lot of things to worry about and keep their reputation, and these people were tarnishing their reputation like maybe Melania Trump. But the reality is that they are going after people as if they're legit, and they themselves are the ones that are the most questionable. One of the other things that I found on that same channel was almost unbelievable. It was done by this, I believe the CEO now of OneCoin is a gentleman who came from Avon, and his last name is Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z, and ordinarily you would think that this person would be pretty well educated and very well schooled coming from the Avon corporate back office, but when he was answering questions about OneCoin, and the question was, will OneCoin ever operate in the United States? He said absolutely not. And he said because the regulatory agencies are too tough in the United States. And I thought that, number one, that was almost like a devastating answer, a little bit like the Herbalife answer way back in whatever it was in 2012. It's kind of like, how could you even say this? First of all, you have a ton of people in the United States that are promoting OneCoins, and you're saying that you're not in it. Second of all, you're saying you're not going to go into the United States because the regulatory is too strong, or it's too hard, or maybe it just will only allow legitimate to be in there. So it was a classic example of, oh my gosh, the delusion that can somehow happen when one of these things really take over you, and it's a little bit like drugs, but with money. These people are obviously seduced by the money, distorted by the money, hypnotized by the money, or something else, but this is crazy, Scott. And now we're watching it all start to fall apart. And the only other thing, and I'll be quiet, the only other thing is also some of the things we've hinted to on previous radio shows. This thing is so big, it's been taken over or controlled in some part by organized crime, which makes it really very serious. So besides the legality of the challenges that some people are being hit with, there's probably some physical threats and even some allegations of murder related to this. So it's kind of hairy and scary and interesting all at the same time. So back to you.
Yeah, it definitely is. And that's really interesting that, you know, he would be so telling to say he wouldn't come into the United States. And we've talked many times in the past about how slow the U.S. regulators are in enforcing illegal pyramids and you know, clamping down on them. They pick off one every once in a while, but there's literally hundreds of them out there. And in my opinion, unless they really go after the whole industry, very little will be accomplished. But if this is the best, you know, if the United States is the best, and that's why he doesn't want to, you know, move one coin in the United States, imagine what kind of a wild place it is around the world with lesser regulations and lesser, law enforcement. That really is an amazing statement, because you're right. If he came from Avon at a high level, he's done worldwide business, because Avon is in many, many countries around the world. So he obviously knows the regulatory and law enforcement environment around the world in different countries. So that really is interesting. And just on your note, I think in 2 days, I think it's May 1st, is going to be the 5-year anniversary of the beginning of Herbalife's debacle. That was the day that David Einhorn, who's an investor, called into the quarterly conference call and said, "Hey guys, how many of your products end up in customer hands? You know, not distributors, but non-distributors." And the answer on that was pretty much just gagging on their own saliva. They really couldn't answer the question. They danced around it, but there was no answer really. And the stock went down, I think it was about 20% in one day. And of course, it's gone up and down since, but that's the impact of just asking a couple of simple questions that any MLM should know how to answer. And Herbalife is a $5 billion a year company, so you would think the executives would be able to answer such an easy, fundamental question. But they tripped all over themselves, and you know, now it's proved itself out, because the FTC finally looked into it, and last July, I think it was, July 2016, after more than 2 years of investigation, the FTC essentially concluded that there was hardly any outside retail sales, and just put the clamps on Herbalife. In fact, beginning in May, 2 days from now, is when Herbalife has to start paying out bonuses only if the distributor has more retail sales, In order to get full bonus, they have to have twice as many retail sales to customers as their own self-consumption. And there's a sliding scale. If you have, you know, less than twice as much, you get penalized on a sliding scale all the way back to zero. You know, if you don't have any customers and you don't get any bonus at all. So that's kind of how that settlement was all worked up, and that goes into effect in 2 days. So, you know, within a month or two, we should be able to really measure how many people start fleeing Herbalife to other MLMs that do not have that requirement. And I just think it's going to be a lot of people leaving because you're not going to stick with an MLM if you're not getting paid any bonus. That, to me, that's just a no-brainer. And based on the products being expensive, it's just a hard thing to do. So I'll let you comment on that. And I've got one more little Herbalife story that happened this past week.
Sure. Well, and the interesting thing is this Munoz gentleman actually referenced Herbalife in his amazing statement about why they won't be in the United States. And in reference to saying it's so hard to do MLM in the United States, take a look at Herbalife. They would just fine $200 million. And you would say, wait a minute, that has nothing to do with being hard to do business in the United States. Edith Ramirez did everything but call them a pyramid, you know? So the reality is that, wait a minute, Munoz, I think companies that aren't doing MLM the right way are supposed to be fined. That has nothing to do with that it's hard to do business in the United States. So the other thing, Scott, as you go to do what you're going to say next, Scott, the amazing thing about Herbalife is the price is at $63 as we speak right now, which is just absolutely defying all logic relative to what I think is happening behind the scenes. It's at a record high, record high for recently, $63.29, I believe, or somewhere around that at the end of close of business on Friday. So back to you.
Yeah, it seems to be a pattern. It kind of creeps up right up until the quarterly figures come out, and they're going to come out, I think, in the next week or two for the past quarter. Typically, it goes up, and then it comes back down, and it creeps back up. But this one is fundamentally different. You know, this is one of the changes that was made on a delayed basis. There was other things that went into effect immediately back in January. There were things like you guys can't, you know, show all this lifestyle stuff. You can't go out there and, you know, tell people they're going to be filthy rich. You have to, you know, just stick to the facts, not get people's hopes up. That went into effect last July, but this new retailing requirement goes into effect next month. And I think I've always said it's going to be the biggest part of that whole settlement. You know, $200 million, while it's not chump change to Herbalife, it's certainly, you know, for a $5 billion a year company, $200 million they can absorb. They can clamp down on some of these incredible lifestyles, although that is a very significant thing because that's really what attracts people to MLMs in many cases is these I won't say promises of lifestyle, but, you know, put it in front of you and say, hey, if you work hard enough and long enough, this is what you can expect. So if you want to call it a promise or not, it really doesn't matter. This is typically what happens with MLMs is they push that lifestyle in front of you, and that's what attracts people. So the other Herbalife news this past week is, and I found this on Twitter as well, there's a company over in the U.K., and it's called Great Run, and it's a company that goes around the U.K. setting up runs of like 5 miles and 10 miles and I guess marathons, and they travel from city to city. I think it's mostly in the spring and summer, and, you know, local runners come and you know, meet each other and have a run. Some are probably, you know, serious runners. Some of them are more just casual, but they all get together and have fun. Well, a few days ago, Herbalife, this Great Run organization, announced a partnership that Herbalife was going to be a lead sponsor of the Great Run race. Well, a bunch of runners saw this, they complained about it, and they got organized. And this is a lesson learned. I've been trying to get people organized against Amway and other MLM camps since 2005, and this radio show is pretty much the only thing I've been able to do on a consistent basis long term. And they, about 4 days after this announcement of the partnership, the Great Run backed out of it.
Wow.
They said the deal's off because people were complaining about, gee, this is a company that just last year was fined $200 million. This company is a scam. This company is pushing products that have all kinds of artificial junk in them. And we're runners, and we like whole foods, and we like healthy living. And there was just all kinds of different perspectives on Herbalife. But the bottom line was they were able to turn off the deal. And that's just I think it's the first time I've ever heard of that. And I was kind of a double-edged sword. It's very sort of hopeful, you know, that we can get together and get more organized and cause other things to happen. But I'm also, you know, the other edge of that sword is I've been trying to do that for a long time, and it's really hard to do. So whether they got lucky, I think there were several things there. I think there was some recent past with Herbalife in the news. Runners are, you know, dedicated. I mean, some are more or less than others, but they take their running seriously, some of them, and they take their nutrition seriously. And so they got together. They were an existing sort of a clan, if you will, and they were able to make that happen. So it was very impressive. I was totally blown away by how effective they could be in such a short period of time. Of course, this was an announced deal. It wasn't finalized yet, and I think that had something to do with it too, the fact that it wasn't an existing deal. It was a proposed deal. So I'll let you have any other comments on that, Peter.
That is amazing. Have you posted any of that on the allmlmfacts.org website?
Yes, there's a story on my website that talks about that.
So for those of you listening, if you go to allmlmfacts.org, you'll be able to see this one as well as other things that Scott has posted as well. I did not know that, Scott. That's interesting news for sure. And it'll be kind of curious to see on May 4th, that's when Herbalife does their next quarterly call. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what kind of changes are being spoken of on that quarterly call. And by the way, everybody that wants to can jump on that as well. If you go to ir.herbalife.com, IR stands for, I guess, like independent representative, or maybe investor relations, one of those. But ir.herbalife.com, you'll be able to see the quarterly reports, the previous conference calls as well, so you get a little bit of an insight on how a publicly traded, very large MLM company kind of handles their investors. And like I said a little bit earlier, Herbalife stock is at not an all-time high, but at an all-time recent high and still climbing. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens as a result of the May 4th report. And May 4th, I guess, Scott, I think that's on a Thursday. Yep, so a Thursday, and they usually do it after trading hours. So we'll see what happens after then we're done. Okay, so anything else in the MLM world?
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment. You can listen to that live. They also record it. So if you can't make the actual meeting, you can go back and listen to the recording and see everything that was talked about. Now, don't expect people like David Einhorn to be able to ask any questions. What they do now is they put in only people that will sort of puff them up and make them look good. They're not going to be asked challenging questions because they only allow certain people to ask questions now. They learned that lesson after David Einhorn. So,
yeah,
if you go to my website, just page down on the right side, there's a story dated yesterday. It says Herbalife gets run out of the Great Run. And so you can see there. Another interesting thing that happened is I was reading about this on the guy that organized this on his blog. He said that after a day or two, Herbalife Public Relations, their PR department, emailed him and said, gee, you've got all kinds of inaccuracies on your blog. And he emailed them back and said, well, why don't you point out the specifics to me? And he didn't hear back from the public relations department from Herbalife. So,
wow.
It's pretty entertaining, as well as, like I say, it's encouraging. I've asked, and I'll ask again on this radio show, if you want to help me get this organized to go against, you know, to go up against Amway and other MLMs, we just need to get organized like these people did, and we can make it happen. But, you know, we got to work together. I'm a one-man show. There's only so much I can do. I do as much as I can, but there's only so much I can do. So.
Right. Okay, so what else is new in the MLM world?
Yeah, there's another story. We talked about this a week or two ago. There was a woman in Canada that made almost $250,000 from Zeke Rewards, and
mm-hmm.
she proposed to the receiver, hey, I'm going to pay you like $2,800 because I'm broke. And the receiver said no. So she appealed to the judge, the court, and the judge also said no. So that's just a little update on something that we've talked about before. That's a April 29th story on BehindMLM.com. There's a couple others in here, I think. Let me see if I can page down. There's one in here that actually got by me the first time I looked at it, but I just noticed it as I was paging down earlier, Peter. There's a story in here from April 28th. It's entitled Prime My Body Review, Oil, Supplements, Securities, and Recruitment. And I'm not trying to talk about that story as much as the guy that is in charge of that company used to run Ciora, who ran a business in April of 2016. Ciora sold these magical holographic chips that you put on your skin. I think they were like the size of a dime, and they were supposed to help your energy. There was different ones, of course. You can't just buy one for everything, because you got to buy multiple ones so that you can buy more of them. They were for energy, chronic pain, rest, sinus allergies, and libido enhancement. So it was obviously a scam. But the reason I brought up Ciora was my former upline platinum, a guy by the name of he's actually a medical doctor. He practices medicine. He used to practice medicine with one other guy. I think the other guy retired recently. But they were both my upline in Amway. His name is Jim LaRose. I think Jim knew about the tool scam. I can't prove that. But when I found out about the tool scam, I drew the line. I said, anyone at Platinum above is making money on tools. And so if they don't disclose that to me, they're the enemy, not the friends. And so that's where I drew my line back in 2005. And Jim actually moved from Amway after the whole thing blew up back in 2007 with Orrin Woodward and company. And he moved over to Ciora, and he was pushing these holographic chips. It was just kind of an interesting, bit of my MLM experience. But just the fact that he went over to this company really makes me think about, what kind of a person he is. Because this was just an incredible, magical product that, had nothing to back it up. There was no proof. And he's a doctor. He should know better. But he lent his credibility chips. I think he had like a sore back, and I think it was one of his kids gave him a chip, and it, miraculously healed his back pain, and he became a distributor. I think that was, basically the story that he used to tell about that. So just a little interesting tidbit. Comment as you want, and I'll keep scrolling down to see if there's anything else in here.
Well, something just popped up, at least as I refresh my screen on Behind MLM, and it basically says those 18 people that were originally arrested in India have now been remanded, I think that's the right word, to actually show up for police custody. So sometimes, when you're arrested, they let you go, and then you have to come back for the trial. But I think in this instance, they were just called back in to custody. So 18 of those people, and they are now in custody, so the police can basically have their way with investigating them and finding out all the details they possibly can about what happened with OneCoin over in India. So India's taking this stuff really seriously. And India was one of the hot spots of OneCoin just recently. And then just one last comment that I'll make is, Scott, you could just imagine when the meeting that they had in Macau was prohibited by the Chinese government, how much of a challenge that would be for OneCoin specifically. You know how big events are, because of the whole Amway thing, books, tapes, functions. This single event was the type of event that people looked forward to for months, paid lots of money for big tickets. Sometimes the tickets would go for like $1,000 or maybe even $10,000 as they were selling them back to their downline. So this is big, 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 big money. And I'm sure they had thousands of people that were scheduled to go to this event, and they just shut it down. I think it was supposed to happen on May 7th, I believe, or the weekend of May 7th. But Scott, think about the economic impact, not only on OneCoin, but to the facility that was supposed to be hosting this event, the hotels, the airlines, the whole local economy. Could you imagine having like a convention canceled a few days before it's supposed to happen, and the, you know, forget about the whole entire chaos that it would cause inside the organization, but also the ramifications economically and other places as well. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. In fact, India put the guy that was in charge of Amway in India in jail for, I think it was about 2 months. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. And Amway couldn't get him out. I mean, he was in there for 2 months straight, just under suspicion, if you will. He was eventually let out, and Amway still operates in India. But these people could be in jail for some time. And I think the year before that, he was in jail for, I want to say, a couple weeks. But, you know, these people can be in jail for some time. So it's not just the fact that they're in legal trouble, but, you know, their lives can be curtailed quite severely for an unknown period of time. So we'll see how that works out. That, you know, getting that event shut down reminds me of another happening that happened in Amway several years ago. There was a guy by the name of Morrison, Dr. Morrison, I think, down in Houston. He broke off from Dexter Yeager, and he invited in a speaker, and that speaker initially accepted coming in. And that's how you advertise these big meetings, is you say, hey, so-and-so's coming in, you got to be here. Well, Yeager got wind of this, Dexter Yeager, who's one of the grand poobahs in Amway distributorship land, and he told this guy, if you go speak to that group, that breakaway group down in Houston, I'm going to never have you speak again to anybody in my entire organization ever. And so naturally he backed out. And that whole event collapsed because, again, you know, the personalities that were promised didn't show up. You know, I think they had to announce, hey, that guy's not going to be here. And it just caused a cascade effect, and the whole event fell apart, and that whole business fell apart. That's a whole other story in Amway lore as far as, you know, lawsuits and counter lawsuits and settlements. And it was just a big mess.
Absolutely messy. Okay, and so that's one coin. Yeah, so one coin is literally, we're watching it fall apart at the seams. I mean, most companies would never be able to recover from anything like this, and I don't suspect one coin will as well, so we're just kind of like watching and documenting as it's falling apart at the seams. Go ahead, Scott, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. There's another story here. I'm just going to continue down the page. I'm on page two, I think, of BehindMLM.com. It's about halfway down. This is a company I think we've talked about before. There's a character by the name of Troy Barnes, and he was just sentenced to 33 months in prison. Another person was given a couple years, and I think a lawyer was all about that. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And so, those guys,
and there was a bunch of money.
They were fantastic for telling an interesting story about how their revenue was generated. It was some triple algorithm, cosmic, whatever, that was done by a genius. And like, yeah, right. And unfortunately, they got tagged, and now they're doing time. So Christy, I think, got somewhere near 2 years, and I think this guy, Troy, got 33 months, like you had mentioned a little bit earlier. And Troy was like one of these guys that just didn't – not that he didn't take it seriously, but obviously was – out of his league. So he did a lot of things that were just dumb and stupid. I'm surprised that he didn't get even more years in jail than what he actually got. So he got a break at 33 months for sure.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Because I agree with these lawsuits mostly. I just don't agree with the amount of time. It would make so much more sense to take them out of circulation for a longer period of time, to both protect the public and to act as a deterrent to other people that are thinking about doing this. If they think they can get away with doing this for a while and then maybe just spend a year or two in jail or in prison, to me that's not enough deterrent. It needs to be 10 and 20 years, not 1 and 2. But that's my opinion. So further down that same page is April 26th, Telex Free. There's a character, San Rodriguez, I guess the court and the what do you call it? The not the retainer, the what's the word I'm looking for there?
Receiver?
Yes. So $1.7 million he's gonna pay up. They need to do that. I don't think it's been accepted by the judge, but typically judges accept these things that are worked out between the two opposing sides. So that's some victory, again, taking somebody out of circulation and making them pay some money. That's always a good thing. And you know why we do this program, Peter, is to educate people so they know what to look for. And hopefully some of the so-called leaders listen to this too and think twice about what they're doing. And we can at least slow down what's going on out there as far as taking advantage of people. Because, you know, what I'm in this for is basically to help people not have to go through what I went through as far as losing lots of time and money. And if I can save some people that heartache, that this is all worth it. It's very worth it. So that's why I do what I do. I'll give it back to you, and I've got one more Amway story.
Okay, and then there was another thing, and I'll just make it as a reference, but there was a company that had a blip on the screen for a while, and that was Forever Green. They are, it seems like, allegedly having some challenges. Their CEO is stepping aside, going back into the field. They have a new CEO, and there's been some reports, because they're publicly traded, that they don't know if they're going to be able to make it or not. So this is an example of how a company tried to increase their sales by doing a lot of very aggressive things that just didn't work out. And as a result of them just not working out and various decisions based on management and salespeople and the top leaders, it's coming back to haunt them, and we're really not sure if they're going to be able to survive or not. So usually once an MLM starts going into this negative tailspin, it's almost impossible for them to pull out. Usually they're absorbed. You know, companies like Youngevity figure out how they're going to acquire the database and do whatever they're going to do with the company owners, and then Youngevity grows mostly by acquisition, or some companies might just go away, or, you know, usually somebody picks up the database and takes over or whatever. But once a company starts into this negative tailspin, I don't think I've ever seen anybody pull out of it. It's usually just the beginning of the end, and you just basically, their termination slip is ready to go, or their, you know, their end of business is going to be happening sometime. It's just a matter of nobody's put a date on it just yet. So that's what seems like it's going on with Forever Green. So over and back to you, you had one more Amway story. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think didn't Forever Green try to offer, you know, make some nice cash offers to people to come in from other MLMs to kind of jumpstart their business, as well as I think they came out with a pay plan that was just much too generous. It just gave away too much money and put them in a real financial bind. I think that was a couple of the things that really got them into trouble, if my understanding is correct.
Probably gave some people some sweetheart deals to kind of get them started or whatever, you know, some transitions. And those things sometimes don't work out. And like you had mentioned, they kind of pump up the compensation plan to be able to feed the direct sales force. But unless you get in real retail sales, Scott, you know, unless there's actually true growth, all of those things basically is you're just trying to buy sales. And you can't exist forever for buying sales. You might be able to buy sales for a year or two. But if that's the only method of operation, buying your volume basically by bribing people and giving away the store in the process of doing it, you're eventually going to run into some financial challenges. And that's where it seems as if, based on the stories that have been written so far, what's happening with Forever Green so far. So
yeah, keep in mind that, you know, from an MLM company perspective, a sale is when somebody buys something. It could be a distributor, it could be a customer. But from a regulatory standpoint, a sale is really an external sale to a non-distributor, and then other purchases of products by a distributor is just internal consumption. And there's nothing wrong with internal consumption as long as it's coupled with a lot of external sales. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, refine that term sales, because people get that confused sometimes. In fact, I've argued ad nauseum with a guy in past years, a guy by the name of, what's his name, David, I can't remember his last name, but anyway, he's an Amway guy. I'm not allowed to talk to him anymore by my settlement with Amway. And I don't mind not talking to him because he's an idiot. But he kept saying, you know, sales to the end user. It doesn't matter if it's a distributor or a customer. Like, oh, Stedman. His name is David Stead's son, David Stead's son. I said, you can't just go to the dictionary and find the definition of a word and then use that in an industry. You know, every industry has particular definitions, and the only way you can use the term sale or retail sale particularly is that's a purchase by a non-distributor. But anyway, I digress. My other Amway story of this week, and I found this again on Twitter. I was just kind of going through Twitter and, you know, making comments about Amway, and I found this story where Amway is suing their insurance company. And I missed this story from this past January. Past January, Amway and several record companies settled a lawsuit. And it was a lawsuit that actually was generated from a previous lawsuit all the way back in 1996, where, and this is actually the genesis of me finding out about the tool scam in 2005, okay? So this is a long story. There's a lot of, you know, forks in the road and so forth, but let me just take it back to 1996. Amway and several high-level distributors, including my upline, Bruce Anderson, Upline Diamond, was sued by the RIAA, Record Industry Something Association, I think it is, and they said, hey, you guys are making VHS tapes and you're copywriting or you're using music that's copyrighted and you do not get permission, and so we're suing you. Well, in 1998, 2 years later, they settled out of court, and we paid RIAA $9 million, and part of that settlement was, okay, if we find any more violations, you know, we have to fix them. You know, Amway has to fix them. And apparently the record companies also said, yeah, if we find any, we'll tell you about them. So they were in negotiations, I think it was 2013, because the record company said, hey, you got this stuff on YouTube all around the world. There's all kinds of people, you know, Amway IBOs, ABOs, whatever you want to call them, distributors that are making these videos on YouTube, and you're violating this copyright thing again. This time it's on YouTube versus VHS tapes, which dates us, right? but Amway said, oh, gee, actually, you guys are wrong because you didn't warn us. You know, you didn't give us enough heads up. So as they were in this negotiation on how to work things out, they were in negotiations, and then the next day the record companies thought Amway was going to come back to the table, but instead of coming back to the table, the next day they sued them. Back in January of this year, again, they settled out of court, which is a disappointment because you don't see very many facts. You also don't know what the details of the settlement were. Now, the judge had previously thrown out almost all of Amway's lawsuit. He left like one in the lawsuit, and this is before the trial. So, you know, basically when judges do this, they say, you guys didn't bring anything to the table. I'm not even going to waste my time in court trying to litigate this because you didn't bring me anything. So I'm going to throw away all these charges. I'm going to let you keep one of them. So my guess is that Amway basically lost in the settlement. They had to pay these record companies millions of dollars again. I don't know that, but it's just the way the whole thing has been going. And Amway did not live up to their end of the bargain by keeping an eye on these, you know, these distributors that were obviously violating copyright law. And so now they're asking the court to force the insurance company to pay them for all of their legal costs and all of their liability costs with this more recent lawsuit and settlement. And, of course, the insurance company is AIG, which was in the news back in the 2008 economy when it crashed. AIG was one of those companies that we, the taxpayers, bailed out. If you remember back then, that was one of the many companies that, you know, was going to fail, was on the brink of failure, and so the government swooped in and bailed them out so they could survive and the whole world wouldn't crash. I'm not a big believer that the world would have crashed. I would have rather let these companies go out of business for making a bunch of bonehead, greedy decisions, but that's just my opinion. That's also on my website. It's actually entitled today, April 29th, and the title is Amway is Whining, Ain't It Great? If you've been around Amway and Dexter Yeager, that's one of his favorite sayings is, ain't it great? So I'll hand that back to you. I know that was a long, circuitous story, but I'm just happy to see Amway, you know, back in the news, and lawsuits are flying, and, you know, we'll see how this works out. But anytime that I think Amway is in the news, it's a good thing, because you can keep bringing up these stories about, you know, what a slimy operation they are. So
right.
I'll hand it back to you, Peter.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, and just talk about the dynamics of how to manage a sales force in a social media world where anybody gets a chance to make a copy of something and upload it wherever they want to. So it's indicative of some of the challenges all companies must have relative to copyright and lawsuits and everything else like that. How do you control these people? So it's an interesting dynamic. Okay, so I think we're done. Those are most of the stories that I ran across. I'm sure if we hit refresh on Behind MLM every few hours, we'll see one more OneCoin thing. So although it's finally, it appears that Germany's going after them. Other countries, rather, are starting to close them down. It appears as if they're finally putting the actions in place to be able to shut this thing down. The really challenging part, though, is the ripple effect of what happens when one of these things go down to people that either, you know, more or less the innocent victims. Those are just, you know, just naive or didn't know what they were doing or was told by a relative or whatever. Those people are going to be losing whatever monies they put into it. A lot of time, I'm sure some people, Scott, they quit their jobs. They are living a lifestyle that is going to be taken away from them. They're probably going to have a whole bunch of clawbacks when this thing is all done and over with. And I hate to say it, but we've been saying all over, you know, we told you so. We told you so. So for those people listening in, there's lessons here. And hopefully if you're a victim, you figure it out. And if you don't want to be a victim sometime in the future, you kind of listen to these types of things and then ask the right questions from the right people so you can make your own decision. At least this way you're not going to be a victim of the ignorance that happens many times in our industry. That really does have a negative effect across the board for a lot of people that are trying to do stuff with home-based businesses. So having said that, Scott, I'll let you give out your two websites and I'll let you wrap it up. You got about a minute.
Yeah, just a real quick wrap-up. I want to make one comment on that. You know, we talked about this Zeke Rewards woman that, you know, made almost $250,000. And the way that the Behind MLM website words it is the receiver alleging she stole $314,000 from victims of the scheme. I don't think she, in her own mind, stole it. I think she thought she was operating a legitimate business. I would say she was ignorant, and I don't mean to use the word ignorant in a derogatory way. She just didn't know what she was doing. She was ignorant. I don't think she had any bad intent. Now, she may have. I don't know her. I think a lot of these people that make money in MLMs really are ignorant. They really don't understand the principles and the basics. So I agree with you. A lot of these are, you know, people that made a lot of money, but they're just as much victims as the people that lost money when it comes to legal proceedings. So I'll get off my SA8 soapbox, my Amway soapbox, and my two websites are stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com and allmlmfacts.org. And I guess we'll talk to you next week, dear.
That's it. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.